You are Locked On Pelicans, your daily podcast on the New Orleans Pelicans, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to another edition of Locked On Pelicans. I'm your host, Jake Madison, at NolaJake on Twitter. I'm also a writer over at bourbonstreetshots.com. Happy to be here with you this Monday morning. Very good weekend for Pelicans fans. Very good week overall for Pelicans fans. Team going 3-1 with wins against Boston, Portland, and Charlotte. Their one loss was to the Orlando Magic. You know, and if you had told me they would go 3-1 this week, I'd say you're insane. More than that, I would have expected them to go 1-3 with the one loss coming against the Orlando Magic, which happens to be the only team they lost to. But a pretty good week overall for the Pelicans. Can't be upset with this. Jrue Holiday did make his return to the team, to the roster, and finally got some game action. And you can see how much the Pelicans have been missing him. He's been outstanding for them in the past two wins they had. The two upset wins over Portland, over Charlotte. We're going to talk about that today on Locked On Pelicans, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. You know, we're the only podcast coming to you 5 days a week, giving you everything you need to know about the Pelicans. Thank you all so much for listening. It's been my pleasure and a lot of fun to be recording this for you all. Quick heads up, I'm not sure yet, but I don't know if I'm going to have a podcast for you all on Friday, Black Friday, the day after Thanksgiving, but I'll have everything covered, including on Thanksgiving Day for you all. A few things might be kind of, you know, in process with that, as I'm going to be traveling a little bit, but I'm going to get these done when I can. So forgive me if they're a little bit choppier than normal, or if it just doesn't happen to come out on Friday, but I'm going to do my best to get it for you guys. But we got a lot to talk about today. We're going to dive into everything. We're going to recap these two wins for you. We're going to talk about the Jrue Holiday effect. There is some other news of the day, which I'll touch on last. The Pelicans did make a new signing, so make sure you listen all the way through the end to find out who it is. Before we get to all the topics, you guys don't need me to tell you how exciting these two wins were for Pelicans fans to upset two teams that most people thought the Pelicans had no chance of winning. One of them going into overtime, getting some free basketball and an exciting victory where, you know, the finishing five, which I'm going to touch on, I promise, closed out the game really incredibly well, showing some of the potential this Pelicans team has had all year long. These were really fun, exciting wins if you're a fan. And, you know, you've got to make sure you're in the Smoothie King Center for these games, for these potential victories, to see Anthony Davis have back-to-back 38-point games. And there's no better way to do that than SeatGeek. You guys have heard me mention it on this site, on this podcast before. Part of that's because I personally use it. I've been using it to go to Saints games all year. I actually looked up to see if I could maybe get some last-minute tickets to LSU, Florida on Saturday, and potentially try and watch that before coming back down for the Pelicans game later that night. Then I just realized there wasn't going to be enough time. But SeatGeek is the best way to make sure you're not missing a moment of the action for whatever it is you want to watch, whether it's the Pelicans, LSU football, Saints football, any concerts in the Superdome or the arena. There's always things going on, and SeatGeek is the best way to make sure you're there for all of that. SeatGeek's an aggregator. It's going to take, you know, tickets from all these different sites and put them together in an easy-to-read, you know, screen for you on your phone or on your computer. They're going to aggregate all these tickets. They're going to give you the best price, and then they're going to rate them for you. They're going to tell you what's good value based on what's out there. That's how you know which seats to go for. You work hard for your money. You want to make sure you're getting the most value out of it, and SeatGeek is going to do it for you. And just for listening to Locked On Pelicans, I've got a pretty great offer for you all. If you download the SeatGeek app onto your phone, go to settings, promo codes, put in LO Pelicans. That's LO Pelicans. You're going to get a $20 rebate for going to a game you already want to go to. Use it when you've got a bachelor party in town or you've got friends visiting. It's the best way to get tickets to the game. It's the way you're going to save the most money possible while getting the best bang for your buck. So definitely download the SeatGeek app today. Put in the promo code LO Pelicans and make sure you're not missing a minute of any action or any concert, whatever it is that you want to be live in studio for. Not live in studio, sorry. Live in the arena and the stadium for. So the victories this past weekend, the first one against Portland, a 113-101 win, in which the Pelicans really led for most of the game. They really took the lead in the second quarter where they outscored Portland by 10 points. It was 33-23 in that quarter, and that was really all the Pelicans needed. They had outscored Portland by two in the first quarter, and then they tied the second half, basically. And by then, Portland was just far out of this. The difference is actually more than that. Portland scored a lot of points in garbage time when the Pelicans had already won, and they had already pulled their starters. There was no Lillard. There was no CJ McCollum in there. Those two guys had some damage against the Pelicans. But this game, you know, the Pelicans played well. They had only 9 turnovers. It led to just 5 fast break points for Portland. But honestly, this is a game that it looks like a blowout, and the score differential is even more so than what the final score was. I don't think the Pelicans played well, particularly on defense. Yeah, you had Davis with 38 points on offense, a ton of rebounds, just doing his Anthony Davis things. He had 38, 9 rebounds, 6 assists, which is also incredible, and 4 blocks, just an overall amazing stat line. Drew Holiday made his return. I talked all about him on Friday. On the Thursday before that as well, I gave you guys a ton of clips from the coaches. He played 23 minutes. Gentry said, you know, he wasn't going to play above 30. So it's about according to plan. He came off the bench, didn't start, also to be expected. He played 23 minutes. He had 21 points and 7 assists. That's absolutely tremendous for a guy who's missed the first 12 games of this season. And it's absolutely wonderful for him to come back after the family issues he's had and be able to play like that. But this game was a lot closer than, you know, the score indicates. So, yeah, the Pelicans only turned it over 9 times, didn't give up fast break points, but they struggled to rebound on the defensive glass at times. They actually gave up 13 offensive rebounds grabbed by Portland, led to 24 second chance points. That's a lot. And the reason the Pelicans, you know, won this game despite everything is it's because Portland only shot 37.5%, 37.5% from the field overall. The Pelicans shot 54.9%. If those two percentages are closer to these teams' averages, which is, say, 43-44%, Portland probably wins this game, to be honest, despite Anthony Davis' monster game, despite the 21 points from Holiday. The Pelicans' terrible, terrible defense, they were just bailed out that Portland was missing shots. 37.5% is really bad. Maybe the Pelicans squeak out a 1 or 2 or 3 point win if Portland shoots better, but my goodness, this team defensively looked very, very bad. Damian Lillard had 27 points. That's not necessarily unexpected, but that's more than you want to give up. CJ McCollum had 24. They each had, I think it was 3 threes made in the game. So these guys are still driving from the perimeter, hitting the lane, hitting the rim, and the Pelicans just have no answer for that. Holiday was trying to defend them at times. He was matched up on small forwards at times too. You can see he was all over the place. But basically, you know, this Pelicans perimeter defense, still a problem. Even if they get a win against Portland where they blow them out, doesn't mean anything's fixed. This is still a worry going forward. Again, if Portland shoots better, I don't know if the Pels win this, at least by the blowout that they have. They easily could have lost, I thought, against Portland. But hey, be happy with the big game from Anthony Davis, the fantastic performance from Drew Holiday. They got just enough production from everyone else. And just got an off night for Portland where Al-Farouq Aminu wasn't playing. They were missing a starter. So it was good for them overall. This is still a team, you know, Portland was a playoff team last year. They're 7-7 now. This is a good win for the Pelicans to build off of. And you could just see the level of energy and excitement and effort on this team with Holiday, you know, one of their leaders being back, at least coming off the bench till he gets back his starting role. So the other win of the weekend coming the next night, Saturday night, against the Hornets, a 121-116 win in overtime. This game a little bit, or not even a little bit, much tougher than the Portland game. Charlotte was really good going into this game at 8-3. When you look at their roster kind of top to bottom, it's tough not to like it. They've got a great coach in Steve Clifford who gets the most out of his guys. It's really hard not to like the Charlotte team and some of the people they have. Pelicans, played well again. This one was tougher. Charlotte shot 41.2% compared to the Pelicans, 43.9%. Pelicans struggled to defend the perimeter again. Kemba Walker scored over 20 points. Marco Bellinelli, who actually was my least favorite New Orleans franchise player, let's call it, of all time, before Ryan Anderson had all of those terrible comments after he left the team and tried to throw, you know, the Pelicans and everyone under the bus. It was him, man. He was supposed to be so good and just wasn't for the then New Orleans Hornets. He came back to bite the Pelicans pretty hard. He was 7 of 9 from deep. Some of his looks were wide open. Some were just absurd threes that he hit with a hand in his face where everyone was contesting him. But, you know, it shows there's not enough, again, consistency on the perimeter defense to shut these guys down, to stop shooters when they're hot, or to stop Kemba and others from driving to the rim when they need to get a bucket themselves. The Pelicans showed a lot of toughness to get back in the game after being down as many as 14. Alvin Gentry at one point late in the fourth quarter picked up a technical, which was a move I liked, to fire up the team. Pelicans managed to get a stop and then tied the game up, sent it to overtime. Anthony Davis had his second 38-point game. Just absolutely impressive. He has just been on a tear this year to prove that he's one of the best players in the league, and he is certainly succeeding in that. 38 points, 16 rebounds, 2 assists, 3 blocks. That's in 42 minutes when you count the overtime of it all. He was absolutely tremendous. The other big story, again, Drew Holiday playing close to that cap of 30 minutes they have set for him. 29 and a half minutes, scores 22 points, 9 assists. He just is in, you know, a special kind of form, and I'm going to talk about why he looks so good after last season, where he was still very good but not nearly at this level. So it's been absolutely wonderful to see. Another guy who really stepped up in that game was Langston Galloway. He was 6 of 11 from deep. He's been a streaky player for the Pelicans. You know, I don't think he's necessarily going to have games where he keeps scoring 23 points and shoots that well from deep. He was certainly feeling it. He had a hot hand going, and the Pelicans were smart to keep giving him the ball. That's what I think they need to do. If he's cold, no, don't keep throwing him the ball and letting him take shots. But he played well. Pelicans really, really needed him to come through big, especially as Charlotte was shooting quite well for a period of time. Again, Marco Bellinelli, 7 of 9. That's insanely good. But Pelicans showed a lot of toughness. The really interesting thing was the finishing five. It was a lineup of Tim Frazier, Drew Holiday, Langston Galloway, Anthony Davis, and Dante Cunningham. They were absolutely tremendous on the defensive glass. That lineup played 11 minutes in this win over Charlotte. They had a 100% defensive rebound rate. Charlotte didn't grab an offensive rebound when that lineup was on the court. When you think of Anthony Davis and Dante Cunningham together, that's not necessarily a strong defensive rebounding pairing. Cunningham is not a great, tremendous defensive rebounder. He can be okay at times, but he's subpar. Davis can't do it all by himself. Helped that Charlotte was shooting a lot of long shots, which leads to long rebounds. And so Langston Galloway, Drew Holiday, and Tim Frazier were able to suck up some of those rebounds. Frazier had 5 defensive rebounds himself. Galloway had 6 himself. You know, that's pretty good for a backcourt for 10 combined right there. Holiday, I think, chipped in with 2. Yes, he did. 12 rebounds out of those 3 guys in the backcourt. That's pretty tremendous. Helps that Charlotte was shooting long all night. Don't expect that to be the case, but 100% defensive rebound rate, not giving up any second chance points like that, is tremendous for any Pelicans lineup. When you struggle defensively, don't give up easy second chance points. And they definitely did not do that in the win over Charlotte. So it was very nice to see. So the story of the weekend could be the 2 wins. It could be Anthony Davis having back-to-back 38-point games, but you know it's going to be Drew Holiday, and that's who I want to talk about here. He's the big story. And his performance this weekend, he's averaging in 2 games, say, 21.5 points, averaging 8 assists, but when he's on the court, that's a 53% assist percentage. When he's on the court, not only is he scoring 21.5 points per game, but he's assisting on half of the other made shots by every Pelican player when he's out on the court. That's an absolutely insane number. Tim Frazier has a very good assist percentage. I talked about that in the preseason, about the start of the year, and Holiday is just crushing that number right now. You know, when people were saying, look at what this team could do when they get Holiday back, when they get Evans back, this is exactly exactly why. When people are saying Anthony Davis is no help, no, he didn't have help because Holiday's the second best player on this team. He was out. You could make a case that Evans is the third best player on the team and he's out. And when Quincy Pondexter was healthy over a season ago, so that's why I don't, you know, factor it in a ton here. He was one of the better players for the team. He was a top five guy. So you have Anthony Davis and then you're missing three of your four top guys next after that. Yeah, you didn't have any help. They have D-League guys and role players being thrust into starting roles and being asked to do too much. So now you get one of those big names back in Drew Holiday, one of the heavy usage guys, and you can see what he can do. So I said 21.5 points per game, 8 assists per game. He's getting to the free throw line as well. He's averaging the second most free throw attempts per game on the team right now. Remember at the start of the year, I said, who else is going to get to the line other than Anthony Davis? Well, the answer is Drew Holiday. He managed to get to the line a ton, and that's something the Pelicans desperately needed. You can start to see this offense coming into its own a little bit more when he's out there. You know, it helps that maybe Portland's defense, backcourt and Lillard, McCollum, Crabbe, those guys aren't tremendous defensively, no. Charlotte has problems at times, but they're much better overall. But they can score against those teams is what I'm saying. They're going to, you know, face a much stiffer test against the Atlanta Hawks tomorrow night on the road in Atlanta. But you can see how well Holiday's doing. They needed this. And this is not the same Holiday we've seen before. This is a Holiday with much more freedom. His usage rate is significantly higher right now than it was last season. And a lot of that has to do with he's not playing with guys like Eric Gordon, Tyreke Evans, Ryan Anderson right now. Guys he needed to share the ball with. Kind of black holes. Once the ball hit those guys' hands, it's never coming out. But now he's not needing to share the ball with those players. So he can go out and take the rock and attack. And attack again. And attack again. And then maybe throw a pass to Anthony Davis. Or receive a pass from Anthony Davis. He has a lot more freedom. And he's able to create more without having to worry about those guys kind of stifling his offensive creativity. So it's really nice to see. I don't know if this is certainly going to keep up. But right now, be happy with it because we have not seen anyone like this on the Pelicans play like in quite a while. So it's nice to get, you know, a second best player on this team that's a good running mate with Anthony Davis. So it's been absolutely wonderful to see from him. His level of play, he's going to be consistently good for the Pelicans. Maybe not this good the entire season. But Pelicans fans, you should have some optimism about this. You should feel pretty good, especially if the shackles are taken off of him and he's allowed to play like this going forward. It just shows if he can keep getting to the line 4.5 times a game, that's going to be a huge thing. It gets teams into foul trouble early, meaning any Pelican, any time they foul a Pelican, when the Pels are in the bonus, those guys are going to the line. That's easy, instant offense for a team that often struggles at times to do that. Can you imagine Solomon Hill, who gives you absolutely nothing offensively right now? Well, what if every time he gets fouled, he's going to the line rather than a side in for the team? That helps creates offense, and when a team struggles to score offensively, you need to get points however you can, and when you can get easy points, that's even better. So enjoy these wins, Pelicans fans, but don't think that this team is fixed. Don't think that this offense is fixed. The defense still looked absolutely atrocious this weekend. Like I said, just nothing on the perimeter defense happening at all. They're letting guys drive into the lane. Think about how many looks Kemba Walker had just right at the rim, whether it was a jump shot or an easy layup when no one rotated over. This is still a problem. And it's still going to be a problem. Like I said, be happy with the wins. But I think the win against Portland, I said it, I was on WDSU with Fletcher Mackel on the hot seat, talking Pelicans for 15 minutes. If you can, definitely look up that clip. It was a pretty good discussion on the Pelicans overall, especially the future of Alvin Gentry and Dell Dempsey. You know, did these two wins take the heat off them? Look up the clip. I'm not going to spoil it for you. But, you know, these two wins, I said the Portland one is kind of a bit smoke and mirrors to me. If Portland doesn't shoot just that badly, I don't know if the Pels win this game. And you waste another great performance by Anthony Davis, another really strong showing, or the first strong showing from Drew Holiday. So things aren't fixed just yet. Before I wrapped up the podcast for you guys today, there is some news. The Pelicans on Sunday announced they had cut Archie Goodwin. Pelicans had signed him and then just realized with Drew Holiday back, I think his skill set just wasn't needed. He's an attacking guard, a guy who was going to drive to the rim, try and get free throws. You see Holiday's doing that now. We just talked about it. So, you know, it's just not a necessary piece. They did sign a guy named Anthony Brown. He was on the Lakers at the start of the year, but was their final cut. as they went into the regular season. They wanted the roster space and things like that. He's listed as a guard, but he's 6'7", so he's more in the mold of a small forward, someone at the three. He shows potential of being a 3-and-D type of wing, a guy who's going to play solid defense, who's going to shoot well. He's been in the D League right now with Erie, and he's been lighting it up offensively. As with any new signing with the Pelicans, especially someone who could potentially fill a big need for the Pelicans, 3-and-D wing is certainly one of them. People get really excited, but temper your expectations. You know, if these guys were really good, they would be in the NBA already. They wouldn't still be playing in the D League. You know, if Lance Stephenson was that amazing, anyone could have signed him. No one did. Same with Terrence Jones. Same with Archie Goodwin. They'd be on a team now. Be happy if he gives, the team any production. And I'll tell you this right now, he's certainly going to get minutes because, the two people ahead of him in that small forward spot have been Dante Cunningham and Solomon Hill, and both of them have been bad. I was not on the Dante Cunningham train, I'll say, but I was defending him earlier in the year. I've got nothing after this week. I think he should have been off the court. In the game against Charlotte when it was going to overtime, he had 5 fouls, and I was really hoping he was going to pick up his 6th foul out so that they could at least try someone different than him. I don't know what it is, but he hasn't contested a jump shot, I think, in a while for this team in the past 4 games, this 3-in-1 week. He doesn't get his hand up on defense to contest shots at all. He seems so terrified of his mark, his offensive assignment driving by him and getting to the rim that he sags so far off the three-point line, even against good shooters. And then teams just shoot over him, and they make those shots because they're wide open. He's been so bad. Solomon Hill is good on the defensive end of the ball, or defensive side of the ball. I like him a lot. I really like what he's done. The problem is he just gives you absolutely nothing on offense. So this just kind of signals to me that Anthony Brown is going to get minutes. It adds some depth on this team. If he literally just stands in the corner and shoots a 3 and makes 2 per game, he's given you more offense than Dante Cunningham is, which is certainly giving you more offense than Solomon Hill is. And if he can play a little bit of defense, I think that's something Pelicans fans should be really happy about. But again, this is not the savior. This is not the guy that's going to make the team much, much better. So thank you all for listening to Locked On Pelicans. Again, I'm your host, Jake Madison, at Nola Jake on Twitter, and also a writer over at bourbonstreetshots.com. Definitely give the podcast a follow on Twitter. It's at Locked On Pels, coming to you 5 days a week. Again, maybe not going to be on Friday, but that remains to be seen. It is the Thanksgiving week after all. So, spend it with your families. Enjoy that. Tomorrow, we'll have another good podcast for you, previewing the game against Atlanta tomorrow night, talking a little bit more about how Jrue Holiday's helping this offense, the difference he brings. So we'll have another good one, Pelicans talk, all week long for you guys. So don't forget, subscribe on iTunes, on Audio Boom, whatever podcast app you use, we're on there too. Search Locked On Pelicans. Don't forget to listen to the Locked On NBA podcast, the Locked On Fantasy Basketball podcast. The other great one that I've been listening to is the Locked On Fantasy Football podcast. They give some great information on there, and it's been wonderful trying to help my fantasy teams just a little bit, give me any edge I can. So thank you guys again for listening to Locked On Pelicans. I'm your host, Jake Madison, and I'll be with you guys tomorrow.